Okay, the boy says today's daf is daf mem beis. We're going to start with mem aleph amid beis. In particular, you'll notice about 8 or 9 lines from the bottom, there is a machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and finally we have Rav Papa, all of whom are talking about the shiurim addressing a talis to tell us at what point is a talis mechuyev betzitzis and some other numbers which are important. Since it's a machloikus, you have Umra Papa Hilchasa, that's 7 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Halacha lemaisa. Dalit. Dalit means you take 4 strands, like we do, and you put it through the hole to produce 8 strands altogether of tzitzis. It's got to be betoich sholosh. What means betoich sholosh? Within 3 etzbo'ois from the end of the garment. So you work your way up from each one of the 4 kanfois, the 4 corners, go up 3 etzbois, and that's the highest point at which you can make your hole and insert the 4 strands. Don't make it anything beyond those 3 etzbois. Then it says mishuleshes. Other Gemaras have another gear, so not mishuleshes, but mishuleshes. Mishul Shelis means hanging down. For those of you that know a good Hebrew, you know that there's a related word which is not so betamt, the word shulshul, which of course means that the excrement is coming down. So here too, Lahavdu, we're saying Mishul Shelis, that the fringes, those are the strands, are hanging down, at least arba, that means 4 etzbois. So we're not talking about the gedil, which is the upper part, where you make your wavings or your stringing, and then you put in the 2 knots, and then the next and the next, the krichos. But rather, we're talking about the psilim that are hanging down, and those psilim are at least 4 etzbois long. That's the halacha according to Rav Papa. Zokti Gemara, we're on Mem Aleph Amid Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. Lememra de Isluhu Shi'ura. So you're telling me that tzitzis has a shear, meaning that it has to be at least 4 etzbois long. Or a minute, I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa. The word tzitzis, as appears in the Torah, ein tzitzis ella yoytze, vein tzitzis ella mashu. The meaning of tzitzis, as used in the Torah, means something which is protruding, which is falling down, flowing down, like our tzitzis. But the shear is only a mashu, not more than that. And it kvar olu zikne be'sham v'zikne be'sil aliyas, Yoichanan ben Beseira, there's another girsa. Yoinisan ben Beseira, vi Amru. Tzitzis ainon shear. Tzitzis has no shear. 1 second, you just told me that tzitzis does have a shear. Kiyoitzibait, similarly, they paskin there in that aliyah of Yoichan ben Beseira, that lulav ain by shear. That lulav has no shear. So, Freytiat Stigmara, my love ain lo shear cloud. There is no shear, period. Neither minimum nor maximum, 0. But Rav Papa is going therefore against this braisa and this psak of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How could that be? He's arguing with all these tanoim that say that tzitzis is even a mashu. And here Rav Papa says, no, it's got to be at least 4 etzbois long. And for the Gemara, you said ein lo shir klal, loy ein lo shir lemalav yesh lo shir lemata. This brisa, when it says that tzitzis ein lo shir, it means that there is no shir lemala, which means you could have tzitzis that go and hang long, long tzitzis. Every once in a while, you see a person that's wearing a long talis cotton, and his tzitzis are going down even below his knees, close to the ground. It's really long tzitzis. You can have tzitzis as long as you want. You can have the tzitzis chas v'shalom schlepping on the floor. Not a good idea to have them schlep on the floor, but they can be very, very long. But there is a minimum shear. What is the minimum shear? That's the dalet etzbois that Rav Papa said before. And the proof of the pudding is, or proof in the pudding is, remember what did the braisa say? Lulav is just like tzitzis, also no shear. Really, how can I'm dein lo shir klal? Are you telling me by tzitzis there is no shir? What's an answer to our Mishnah? Lulav, the minimum shir of a lulav is to be able to do Nianuel. Nianum, of course, means the wavings that we do during Hallel, etc. And also right after the Bracha, most people do Nianuel. And that Nianuel, to be able to go and shake it back and forth and up and down, it has to have something. So Lulav Sheesh by Gimel Tvachim, what's the minimum share? 3 Tvachim. Kedei Lenanea by. Then it's kosher. But you just said now in the Amud Beis, Lulav has no share. And all of a sudden you're saying in the Mishnah, Lulav has a share. Make up your mind. Ella, the answer is very simple. Eloi Sheer Lamala, you could have a very, very long Lulav. I remember for years when I used to go to the Koisel on Chol HaMoed, you saw a person that probably took the prize for the longest Lulav in the world. The Lulav to me looked like it was, I don't know, maybe 6 feet long. He held it up and you had to look almost with a telescope. That's how tall the Sheer of this Lulav was. Eloi Sheer Lamala. Avishli Sheer Lamata, but the Avada, there is a minimum Sheer. That minimum shear is Gimel Tvachim. Hachanami, same thing over here. Eloi shear lemalu, you can have long, long tzitzis that go even theoretically to the ground. Aviyeshli shear lemata, but there is a shear lemata that has to be at least 3 etzbo'ois, can you say 3? At least 4 etzbo'ois long. Good, so this we for emphat the steer of the kasha from the Braisa on Rapa. We're going to get back to this shortly, but in the meantime, Tana Rabban, we have a Braisa, tzitzis. Ein tzitzis ela anuf. What's the definition of the word tzitzis? It means anuf. Anuf is that portion of the tzitzis that we wear that is below the gedil. Meaning, every one of our tzitzis has two parts to it. The upper part, where you have the krichos, where you have the windings around. Right? It's divided up into 4 different sections. And you have the 5 times 2 knots. In between, right, you have the knots directly on the beged, and then your first krichos, 2 knots, next set of krichos, another 2 knots, third set of krichos, finally 2 knots, 5 fourth set of krichos, and then you have the final knots at the end, so that it shouldn't all just disentangle itself, or dismember, or whatever. Unravel, that's the best term, unravel, thank you. Anyway, so the upper part is called the gedil, gedilam tasalach, and the bottom part is called the psilim. Al kanaf psil tzecheres. Psil are the strings that hang down from the gedil. So another term for psilim is anaf. Anaf means that portion of the strings which are hanging down. V'cheinu oimer. And the raya to that, but that's the definition of the word tzitzis, is v'yikacheini betzitzis roishi. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel, and he's saying that a tavnis yod, presumably that's a malach of some sort, came by Yikacheini, and he grabbed hold of me betzitzis roishi, with the tzitzis of my hair. The tzitzis of the hair is presumably something like payas, especially like the way the chassidim wear it, long payas. He grabbed hold of my payas, my tzitzis. So what do you see from that? The tzitzis are like payas, hair which is hanging down. So that's what the term unaf, which means those strands are like the hair hanging down in a payas in the tzitzis roishi. V'yomer Abaye, and Abaye added one more knech. Knech means a wrinkle. V'tzorach l'fruda ki tzitzisa d'armoy. Make sure that the psilim, the strands that are coming down, are all separated one from the other. In other words, don't allow them to get clustered and merged together. If you're not careful, especially if you put your tzitzis in the washing machine, and you're not careful to separate them and to do something special, you take him out of the washing machine, you feel that this one large ball, one large glob. Now, what a tzitzisa d'armoi, Rashi says this was the bloiris that the armoim, that the goyim used to wear at that time. And nowadays we use the term bloiris to mean a chup. But in the times of Chazal, the word bloiris meant more what we would call a ponytail. It was not only the women that wore ponytails, but also the men wore ponytails. So Rashi explains, if you ever think about ponytails, I'm sure this is not your favorite topic of thought, but if you thought about it, ponytail, usually the women, they braid it, and make a nice braid out of it, and then at the end, they tie it somehow by putting a rubber band or something around it, and then the final hairs, of course, are sticking out separately. It's not braided until the very, very, very end. There are always some hairs which are sticking out of the braid. And that's what the Gemara is saying here, make sure that those, the psilim, the onuf, which is hanging down, should be like the tzitzis d'armoy, just like the tzitzis of the armoyim's bloiris, that it starts off its base, it's braided, so it's all together as one, but when you come to the end of the braid, then they're separated one from the other. If you take a quick look at the Rashi, third and fourth line, Tzerch lefroida, ki tzitzis d'armoy, ki bloiris ovichovim, like this ponytail of the goyim, tvukais melmata, where the hair is clustered together as part of the braid, and it's like one entity. It's similar, in a sense, to argetilim, where the top of the tzitzis is not braided together, but they're wound together. Oh, that's the right term, shkoich. Barry, what would I do without you? Uprudus mamata, and then from the ponytail you have sticking out the remaining hair, which at this point is already no longer clustered, but each individual hair coming out. So the same thing by the tzitzis, they should be individual and not merged and fused together. Okay, Tana Rabban. Now we're going to continue going back to the inyan of the shear of the tzitzis. Hitel ala keren, oy al hagdil ksheir. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov oimer, poisel Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, poisel b'shtein. What does he mean?
What is the gedil?
We said a moment ago that the tzitzis, the hole in the konuf, has to be up to three etzbois from the keren, from the bottom of the beged. So if you want to take out your talus cotton that you're wearing, or just visualize it in your mind, count from the bottom, or measure from the bottom of the keren, of the konuf, go up three etzbois, and that's the maximum distance from the konuf that you can put the tzitzis in. In other words, put your hole in within the three etzbois from the end of the beged, insert your tzitzis. Now, what happens if a person didn't go three etzbois or two and a half etzbois, but he did it on the keren itself, oy alegdil? What does that mean, the keren or the gdil? That means at the very tippy end, on the bottom of the konuf. The only reason why the hole is standing there is because it has underneath it the bottom of the beged, which is perhaps, I don't know, a tenth of an inch of material still left, or the gdil. The gdil means, for instance, if they made a thick hem at the end of the beged, so it shouldn't unravel. You have that very often, the hem that you make, whether it happens to be on the bottom of your shirt, or the bottom of one's pants, or whatever. This is made, of course, by the manufacturer, but the bottom of your, take a look at your undershirt. Don't do it in public, but the bottom of the undershirt, you'll look to see on the bottom they have a hem, because otherwise the whole thing would eventually unravel. So if you have at the bottom of your arba kanfos, a keren or gedil, says the Tana Kama, just as long as the hole where the tzitzis are inserted is right above that, even though the whole distance from the bottom of the beged in mamish is twice a tenth of an inch, makes no difference. It's less than a millimeter. It's still kosher. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, poisel b'shtein. If it's going to be so close to the bottom, that's gurnished. What is the shear? Kaman azla, what is the shear? Kaman azla hodi umr of gidl umr rav. Who of the two views we just said, the Tanakam, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds a gidl umr rav? The tzitzis tzrichesh teinu tefes ala keren, that the tzitzis have to be high enough on the keren so that they're hitting against the keren. Keren again meaning the corner of the corner. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, al kanfei v'gdeya, that the tzitzis are supposed to be noitif, as if they're banging back and forth, on kanfei v'gdeya. For those, there are two different types of minhagim when it comes to the holds on the bottom of the arba kanfos. Most people only have one hole in which they insert the four strings. However, there are begodim, especially worn by most chassidim, that have two holes, one next to each other, and you go and insert the four strands first through the first hole and then through the second hole, and then they hang down from the beged. Why am I telling you this? Because that version seems to be a little bit more textually correct based on this lashon shape in the tefes al keren, because since the tzitzis are not just hanging down from the keren, but in fact you can pick them up and hit the keren with it, so to speak. I don't know if you can see it on the Zoom, but I've taken my own arba kanfois, and you see that it has two holes here in the corner, and if you turn on the other side, you see the tzitzis is not hanging down like a loop from the bottom, like many of the talesim and many other taliskotans, but rather it's hanging like this. And now, if I wanted to, I can be noitif ala keren, noitif ala konef. I bang it against it. Of course, it doesn't make a lot of noise when I bang against it, because of the fact that it's just material against material. But you see, that's noitif ala keren. You also see here on the bottom, which is like a gedil, a little bit of a hem. Don't put the hole all the way to the bottom next to the hem, because that's what Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says. No, no, ala keren, ala gedil, that's no good. You have to go and remove it up to 3 etzbois from the keren. And here it's noitev ala keren, like we just said. Getting back to the Gemara, who's the man diyama that says that tzitzis has to be noitev? It can bang against the keren. Shenema, because the pasuk says, al kanfe bigdeim l'deiraisam, that the tzitzis has to be al kanfe on top of the konef, so it can hit it. Keman Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, the Reb Lezer ben Yaakov said, if it's all the way in the bottom, all the way on the gedil, it never hits the kanfe bigdeim. It's in fact lower than the konef. It starts just, you know, a millimeter or less from the bottom gedil, that's the bottom hem of the bein. Oh, so Kuntra Blizman Yaakov, that has to be higher, then it is noitif against the keren. But we still don't know what the shear is against Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. We know what the shear is not. Don't put it all the way in the bottom next to the hem. It's got to be higher. But how much higher? The minimum of where you put the hole in the corner has to be at least the size of from the end of your thumb to the first knot in the finger called the thumb. Meaning, when we talk about etzbois, usually we're usually talking about the width of the etzbois, right? If let's say we spoke about 3 etzbois, we start from here and we go up. So it's 3 etzbois. Here by the thumb, we're talking about starting from where the nail ends and going to that first knot in the agudel. That's how Rashi learns. If you take a quick look at Rashi, Shiarchik Moloi Kesher Gudel, Rashi is about a quarter down the Amud of the Rashis. Shiarchik Moloi Kesher Gudel, Tzorach Shiyagbienu Min HaSofa, go and raise the hole from the very end of the Beged. Moloi Kesher Gudel, what does that mean? Shir HaTzipoirin Im HaBasar Ad Perek Rishon. You start off from the end of the thumb, where you have the Tzipoirin, you have the nail. You go upwards until perigrecion, until that first knot in the middle of the thumb, in the middle of that finger. And that's the minimum shear. How much is that? I don't know. Looking at my own finger, looks like a little bit more than an inch, maybe an inch and a half, until you have the full amount, and therefore that is the minimum. And the maximum, we already said, according to Papa, is up to 4. No, I'm sorry. Up to 3 etzbois mitzvasabeg. Up to 3. So it's a very small window of opportunity here. From the has to be a minimum of the kesher agudu and the maximum 3 etzbois. And the Gemara now tells us the itzrich to Rapapa, the itzrich to Rabbi Yankiv. I need both Rapapa that we started off with in the Amud Beis and Rabbi Yankiv that we just had now, who said it's tzrich sheyarchem le kesher agudu. Now, what did Rapapa say? We remember back in the Amud Beis, we started off, Hilch Amra Papa, Hilchasa Talid B'toich Shalosh, 4 strings, B'toich Shalosh, within 3 etzbois from the bottom of the Beged, Mishuleshes Arba, and it's hanging down, or Mishulsheles Arba, hanging down 4 etzbois. But we're not talking about the hanging now. Now we're talking about how many etzbois from the bottom of the Beged upwards, up to 3, B'toich Shalosh. That was Reb Papa. And Reb Yankiv said that the shear is Moloi Kesher Gudel. Says Imar, these are not inconsistent. To the contrary, we need both of them. Zuktimar b'itzuk Reb Papa, itzuk Reb Yankiv. Imar Reb Papa, if we'd have Reb Papa alone, what did Reb Papa say? That it's got to be 3 etzbois. Have a mina toich gimel to lechik tvei. He's giving us the maximum from the corner. Don't go above 3 etzbois. You can go 2.9, you can go 2.8, but don't go more than 3. However, the Kamed Mekrev Mali, maybe on the other hand, since it's got to be on the kanaf, maybe the closer to the bottom is better. In other words, maybe we should make it on the gedil, on the hem, at the very bottom. And the maximum is 3 etzbois, but there's really no minimum. It goes all the way to the bottom of the begid. It's a Rebbe, that's why Rebbe Yankov said, no, chulila, it's got to be at least a kesher, a gudul, and more. Even Rebbe Yankov, only the Rebbe Yankov, the kesher, gudul, abimina, but kesher, gudul, to a likrif tvei. It cannot be anything less than that kesher, gudul. However, come to Rochik Mali, but maybe it can go up even 10 inches, maybe it can go up a whole tefach, maybe even an amma. How would I know? Tzricha, that's why you have to have both the minimum shear is a kesher, a gudul, and the maximum shear is the 3 etzbois. Anything in between is fine, not more and not less. Now the Gemara tells us a real life story with Ravina v'Rav Soma. We're going to find out shortly that Ravina came from Eretz Yisrael and Rav Soma was together with Ravina in Bavel, and Haviyasvi Kamei d'Rav Ashi. They were sitting in front of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi was giving a shear. As he's giving a shear, Chazi Rav Soma lekarni deglimei d'Ravina, Rav Soma noticed that the corner of the talis cotton that Ravina was wearing, the sasar, that it got torn, and now the hole, ubatzer mimlai kesher gudel, the hole as well as the tzitzit sticking out of the hole, had now went downwards towards the gedil, the hem at the bottom of the tzitzis, and it was now less than the minimum of Rabbi Yankov that said it's got to be at least kesher gudel, and now it's less than that kesher gudel. So amalei. So now Rav Soma looked at Ravina and said, Loi Sovel Amar, don't you hold the Hod Rabbi Yankov that it's got to be a minimum of Malay Kesher Gudul, and yours is even less. L'choyri, your titzis is possible. Amalei Bishasa Siyah Itmar. Everybody knows our loch is like Rabbi Yankov. Everybody knows it's got to be a minimum Malay Kesher Agudul. That's at the time of the original stringing of the Arba Kamfos of your talis. Make sure that the hole is above L'Kesher Gudel. However, if subsequently, after you made the tzitzis and you're wearing it, it gets torn, no, that can happen to anybody that gets torn. Then it's okay, even though now after the tear, the tzitzis are hanging now below the L'Kesher Gudel, b'di'evet, that's okay. So once Rav Soma heard this from Ravina, Ichsef, he was embarrassed. In other words, he could have, should have thought about this on his own, and he felt bad that he even mentioned anything, because Ravina is right. So Amalei Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Soma, don't be upset, like tat kif loch, don't go and get distressed and depressed, yishenu chad minayu kitrei minon, one of them is like two of ours. What means one of them, explains Rashi, we know that Avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim, Ravina came from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's a great, great chacham. So it's not surprising that he bested you in this question and answer, because he has the schus of learning in Eretz Yisrael, and you only learned in Chutz Laaretz. So that's why he won in this debate, so to speak. So don't feel bad. Anybody from Eretz Yisrael automatically has a leg up on all of us Chutz Laaretz guys. Okay, so this ends that shtickel. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the mechanics of inserting the 4 strands into the beged. Rav Acha bar Yankov Romi Arba va'ayif lehu meyif u'ma'ayin lehu beglima va'avik lehu meyvak. This is fascinating. He took the 4 tzitzis. Instead of just inserting the 4 tzitzis into the hole and then doubling it up, and now we have 8, he doubled it before putting it into the hole, which means he took 4 strands, folded it double, and now think about it. At the top of this fold, you have like an arch, and then you have the 8 strings which are extending. Then he would take the 4 arches at the top, he inserted into the hole, and now what we have is on one side 8 strands hanging down, and the other side, the top of the arch, those are the 4 arches, so to speak, of the 4 tzitzis. Now, since they're already through the hole in the beged, don't look upon them as being arches, look upon them as being loops. And what the person did was, Rav Acha Bar Yankif took the 8 strands, and he put them now through the 4 loops on the other side, and therefore made what we would call a slip knot. And this would hold it in place, so it wouldn't fall out, right? You have now such a loop, takes the 8 tzitzis, because he had already doubled it, put them through, so he's wrapping around the beged, because how do you get into those 4 loops? You have to go and take the 8 strands, and wrap it around from the side or from the bottom, and then stick it through the 4 loops, and now he's made a nice slip knot, and that's how he held it in place. Why did he do that? Says the Gemara Nochamul, Rami Arba, he took the 4 strands, Ayifluhu Meif means that he doubled it over, Uma'ayiluhu Biglima, and he took all 8 now, and he inserted it into the hole, V'aviklu Meivik, and now we have loops on one side, 8 strands on the other side, and he took the 8 strands and put it through the loops, and as a result make a slip knot, but Kosovar Be'inan Tamanya Biglima, he held that you don't put 4 into the glima, you put 8 into the glima, and that's what we have now, because once you folded it over and you're inserting 8. Ke'ech l'lehevi gdil gdilim b'mokim psilim. So that when you are forming your gdil and your psilim, that initially you're starting off not with 4 and making it 8, you already started with 8, put the 8 through, you remain with 8, because the 8 now you loop through the loops, and now you have a nice slip knot, so you started off with 8 and you remain with 8, and that's kusha v'yusha. That's what he did. However, b'yirami difti, he agreed with Rav Acha ben Yankov that you should start with 8, and in fact he didn't take 4 strings like we do, he took 8 strings like we do, and he inserted the 8 through the hole like we would normally do for 4. He inserted 8, the inushitzer, now it's doubled over, now there's 16 tzitzis altogether. Wow, he's so frum, so erlich, he had 16 tzitzis coming out of each corner, and he did not go and do this ovik of the slip knot, but rather he did the tzitzis like we do it, that after that, he wound it up with all the kriches and all of the various knots. Mar b'redavina ovik kididon, he did like we do it. What means like we do it? Says Rashi, you put in 4, and it comes out 8, and then you do your krichos and your knots, and so on and so forth. So, our minig today, yes, he held that that's the din. In other words, not that he held. We hold his Baal Taisus because we hold that you're only supposed to have a maximum of 8. He held you're supposed to start off with 8 and end up with 16. Not that you start with 4 and you end up with 8. You start with 8 and you end up with 16. Why does he hold that way? So Rashi says, because it doesn't say Gedil Ta'asaloch, it says Gedilim Ta'asaloch. And so therefore that means multiple Gedilim. Therefore he comes out to a cheshbon of 8 strands and 16 after you double it. Okay, Zukti Moravaita. Now we're starting a new sugya, and we're talking about when you manufacture a dvar mitzvah, do you make a bracha? Rav Nachman Ashkechel of Ada Barahava, Rami Chuti. Rami Chuti means he was putting chutim into his talis. In other words, he was making the tzitzis on his talis. V'kamavarech, and as he was doing it, he made a bracha. Shekichur v'tzoyts v'tzivanu la'asoyts tzitzis. Oh, I'm making a bracha. I'm making tzitzis. I'm in mekayim a mitzvah. So when Rav Nachman heard that, Omalei my tzitzis sheman ochi psapsaicher tzitzis tzitzis. What are you doing with tzitzis? After all, Hachi Omer Rav, tzitzis ein tzvicha bracha. When you're making tzitzis, we're not talking about putting on tzitzis. Of course, when you put on tzitzis, if you're putting on talis godel, lesatir for tzitzis. Talis gotten when we were young, al mitzvah tzitzis. But you don't make a bracha of lasis tzitzis. Hachi Omer Rav, tzitzis ein tzvicha bracha. And therefore, Rav Nachman, if you will, put in a shtikl machot to Rav Ada Bar Ahava and told them what you're doing is wrong. You do not make a bracha lasis tzitzis. But as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, it's not so simple. Ki noch nafshe de Rav Huna, when Rav Huna passed away, all Rav Chizda lemirma de Rav Adarav. Rav Chizda came in. Barry will remind us, why does the Gemara say that Rav Huna passed away and Rav Chizda comes in? Because they were brogues with each other for many years. Where does this appear? In Mesechtes, Bava Metzia, Yeah, in Eile Metzias, where it says over there that what happens if Avedosev, Avedis Rabbi, Avedis Hoviv, Avedis Rabbi, who comes first? So this one brings him Chayla Mabo, this brings him Chayla Mazeh. And then Rav Chizda said to Rav Huna, his Rebbe, what happens if you have a Talmud for Rabbi Tzrichalai, and the Rebbe needs him? Is he still on that same stature and status of a Rebbe, where you have to go and give his Aveda back first or not? And so Rav Huna said to Rav Chizda, oh, you're talking about yourself? I don't need you. Gesundheit. And Rav Chizda really didn't mean that. He's just asking a question, like Rav Yirmiyah asked questions. What happens if you have a Talmud who's so chashev that the Rabbi needs him? See, he wasn't talking about himself. But Rav Huna misunderstood that. They were not able to get together. And the Gemara says that Rav Chizda therefore went and learned outside of the Medrash for many years. I don't remember if it was 20 years or 40 years, whatever it was, for a very long period of time, until Rav Huna finally passed away. And then for the first time after all these years, Rav Chizda finally went back into Beis Medrash. Anyway, so he went back into Beis Medrash. The Gemara tells us, "Oh, Rav Chizda, mimad Rav ad Rav." He asked the stira Rav and Rav. Umi Omer Rav tzitzit zayin tzorich bracha. Are you telling me tzitzit doesn't require a bracha? From Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, minayin tzitzit ba'oyvi kechavim shehi psula. So the first Rav is the Rav that Rav Nachman quoted a moment ago, that tzitzit does not require a bracha. But the same Rav said that if tzitzis were manufactured by a goy, then it's possible. Why is it possible? We'll see Miachim and the Amid Beis, that when it comes to tzitzis, it has to be made lishma. And a goy can't make a lishma because a goy is a goy. Shinemar, how do we know, Taka, that tzitzis of a goy is possible? Shinemar, Dabu B'nei Yisrael, we must have tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael Yasu, V'lo Yoyv D'Kachav Yasu. A yid has to manufacture the tzitzis and not the goy. Frankly, my mom, my roomie, so what's the steer? What's the kash? So Rav said, don't make a bracha. And Rav said, only a yid can make tzitzis and not a goy. Amr of Yosef, Kasav Rav Chizda. Kol mitzvah shekshayda v'ayvi kechavim. B'Yisrael, ein tzorach levorech. Any mitzvah that can be put together, that's kosher, if it's put together by a yid, I'm sorry, v'ayvi kechavim, by a Gentile, by a goy, then Yisrael doesn't have to make a bracha. What's the reason why he doesn't have to make a bracha at the time he is putting together the tzitzis or whatever he's putting together? Explains Rashi. If you look at Rashi, oh, just about two lines above our Gemara, Kol mitzvah shekshayda by v'chom b'Yisrael, ein etzer bracha, de'en yachaloymer asher kirishanu, b'mitzvois v'tzivanu, do'ay v'chom nami kosher ba. Even an v'chom is kosher to go and manufacture the tzitzis. Asher Kichonu sounds like that we have been designated the holy Jews that have this mitzvah to the exception of everybody. No, a goy can manufacture tzitzis as well. There's another toisis that adds to this ashtikala. If you look at toisis, the four toisis from the top of the Amid, it says, B'Yisrael ein etzerach levarech, the mashma asher kichonu mitzvah v'tzivanu v'loy v'acherim. In other words, we're in an exclusive tzitzis club where the goy has no membership, not even honorary membership, and therefore that's why he cannot manufacture tzitzis. And therefore, any mitzvah that is kosher by a goy, a Yisrael doesn't make a bracha. Kol mitzvah shepsula by v'chom, that if the v'chom manufactures the tzitzis, it's possible, but Yisrael tzarech levarech, then a yid does have to make a bracha. And therefore, since Rav paskind that tzitzis of an v'chom is possible, that means that the only guys that are authorized to manufacture tzitzis are only Yisrael, then we should make a bracha. Asher k'nishar mitzvah mitzivana. Yet Rav said, tzitzis ain't tzorach bracha, so I have a stira, Rav on Rav. The Gemara doesn't answer the stira yet. We're going to get to that in the Amud Beis. In the meantime, the Gemara is going to ask Akasha on the premise of what Chizda is saying. Rav Chizda says, any mitzvah k'sheira ba'akam, b'Yisrael ain't tzarech levarech. Frank Timur, uklolohu, is that really true? Varimila, the k'sheira ba'ayvi k'chavim. Can you imagine? If you don't have a Jewish moil, you can have a goy performing the mila. How do I know? The sign it says in the braisa. Ir she'ein ba'roi for Yisrael. What happens if you live in Ashtetl? There are no Jewish doctors. V'yesh ba'roi fe armoi, but you do have a goyish doctor. For Roife Kusi, and you have a Roife who's a Kusi. You have no choice between Yisrael and these Armoy and Kusi. It's only choice between Armoy and Kusi. Then Yimal Amoy, rather have the goy do the bris milah. Val Yimal Kusi, but not the Kusi. Why not? Why is the Kusi any worse? Says Rashi, because we're already talking about in later years when we discovered that the Kusim had put up an idol on top of Har Gerizim, and so therefore they were really oivde avodah zarah. The whole machlokes that we have throughout Chas, whether the Kusi is Geri Aroyis or Geri Yisrael, that was in the early days. But later on they saw, twice, two generations, three generations later, that the Kusim had put up this avodah zarah on Har Gerizim, and therefore I'm afraid that the Kusi, when he's going to do the bris, he's not going to have in mind we're doing this l'shem shemayim for the Rabbeinu Shalom, but we're doing it for his stupid idol at the top of Har Gerizim. So that's why rather take a goy, and the assumption is the goy is just going to follow whatever directives, whatever dictates the Yid gives him. Like all the Gemara say that a goy can do certain things, Yisrael oymed al gabov. So you have Yisrael who's telling him, you have to go and do a milah, and you have to do a priya, and you do it this way and that way, etc. And the goy listens, and he just, you know, for a fee, he'll do it. The Kusi, I'm afraid, that even with the fee, he's not going to go and listen to the Yisrael. He's going to have in mind his avodah zarah and Har Gerizim. Tibreme. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kusi v'lo yamoy. Rather take the Kusi and not the Amoy. And he doesn't give the reason why, but elsewhere where this Gemara is brought, it says that the reason is Gemara avodah zarah. Yeah. Choshen shvichas dam. Since you have that this doctor, this Amoy, is holding the knife in his hand, presumably to go and cut, purportedly to cut the bris, the orla from the aver, we're afraid he's going to, quote-unquote, make a mistake, and he's going to go and slit the throat of this ingala. Oy, 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 what a terrible mistake I made. Oy, oy, I'm so negligent, I'm so sorry. But unfortunately, it's going to be a situation, he's going to go and kill the child. But Me'ikr Hadin, both of them hold, then Armoy can go and Malah. Right? The first man, the Yoma, says, Yima Armoy va Yima Kusi. Yes, Rameh says, let the Armoy do it. So Tribuna, no, don't let the Armoy do it because I'm worried about Shvichazam. But Me'ikr Hadin, if I didn't have to worry about Shvichazam, he's kosher. Ah, so a goy is kosher. Nevertheless, Yisrael Tzarech Levarech, when the Yisrael is performing the bris, he makes a bracha, the Yom Amar, as we all know. Hamol Oymer, Baruch Hashem, Kishanam Soi Tzivanu, Al Hamila. No, didn't you just say, according to Rav Chizda, according to Rav, that Kol Mitzvah Ksheira, Bo'ev Kechavim, Yisrael Ein Tzarech Levarech. This is a mitzvah which is kosher through a goy. Goy can perform the Mila, but Yisrael makes a bracha. Oy, oy, oy. Zog the Gemara, that kasha, nishka kasha. Midu Taime El Rav. The whole kasha that you're asking is according to Rav. How do you synthesize both the halacha that Rav says that by Mila you make a bracha, by the tzitzis you don't make a bracha, and yet we're saying that a goy can go and perform the Mila? After the Gemara, Rav Vifsel Basel. Rav Taka holds that you cannot take a goy to do the Mila. So if there's no Jewish doctor, you can have 100 goyish doctors, they are all disqualified. You're just going to have to wait until you find a Jewish doctor. The Itma, like we learned in the Gemara, that minay la mila ba'ev kecham shepsula, how do I know that a mila performed by a goy is possible? Machloik, story of a papa, mishmeh the Rav, Omar, the atu asprizi tishmar, atu you, yin, you have to do the shmira on the bris. B'yechon Omar, himal yimal, we darshan, himal yimal hamal yimal. Someone who is gemalit, means a person who is Jewish, he can go and perform mila on somebody else. But if he didn't have a meal himself, because he's a goy, then he cannot mala others. Ah, so therefore, according to Rav, Einachanami, a goy is possible to perform the meal. Since a goy is possible to perform the meal, that's why it makes sense. When the Israel does the bris meal, he makes the bracha, hamal oimer, baruch asher, kedishanu, like we said. Okay, so that kasha is nishka kasha. We still have a stira Rav on Rav, because Rav said before that a tzitzis ain't tzarech lebracha. And yet he holds that the mitzvah tzitzis can only be performed by a Jew, the manufacturing of the tzitzis can only be performed by a Jew, and not by a goy. So that issue still remains out there. We're going to get back to that shortly. But in the meantime, the Gemara says, Sukkah Messiah, the mitzvah sukkah is a raya to Rav Chizda. Tfilin have a tiyufte, but the mitzvah tfilin is a chayr akash on Rav Chizda. Hari sukkah dikshere by vikchav. If a goy built a sukkah, it's kosher for sukkahs. Just like we learned in the Brayth. Sukkahs oivdei kechavim. Sukkas Noshim, Sukkas Behema, Sukkas Kusiyim. If you have a sukkah that was built by any one of these four, in Masechtes Sukkah, the Gemara called it Sukkas Ganbach. Ganbach is Rosh Tevis. Gimel is Goy, which is Oivik Echovim. Nun is for the Noshim. Bach is Sukkas Behema. Not that the Behema went and constructed it, but the Sukkah was made for Behemoth, like a shtal, like a barn of sorts. And Sukkas Kusiyim was Sukkah that was created by Kusiyim. In all of these cases, Sukkah Mikol Mokoyim Ksheya. As long as it has four walls and has Schach on top, it's kosher. But it has to have proper Schach. In other words, it shouldn't be holes in the Schach, and it should be from materials which are kosher the Schach, which are not Mekabel Tuma, and so on and so forth. And of course, our minig today is we allow Goyim to go and build Sukkahs. We just make sure that we are Minaneya, that if they put up the Schach, we go and shokel it a few times, so that it's considered to be that the Yid was put the Schach on. Or just tell the Goy, don't put the Schach, I'll take care of it. But sometimes it's a little bit difficult if it's a tall sukkah. So you have the Goy do it, and then you go and shokel it back and forth, and then it becomes kosher. Anyway, so what do I see from this brisa? That the sukkah of a Goy is kosher. Oh, Ubi Yisrael ain't tzarech levarach. And by Yisrael, then there is no bracha. Ah, so this is what the Gemara said, is a siyua, misayale, sukkah misayale. Because this is taka mitzvah that we're saying that can be performed by goyim, they can manufacture a sukkah, and that's why Yisrael doesn't make a bracha, laso Yisrael, livnoi sukkah. How do I know that Yisrael ain't tzarech levarach? Desanya. We have a brisa directly on point. A person who manufactures a sukkah for himself, or he makes a bracha, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, shehachiyanu v'kimonu v'yaleinu hazman hazeh. But leishabah, when he goes to sit in the sukkah, the first night of sukkahs, after kiddush, he says, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, shehachiyanu mitzoyis v'tzivanu, leishabah sukkah. All of that is fine. V'ilu lasi sukkah, loy mevarach. But you don't make a bracha lasi sukkah. Why don't you make a bracha lasi sukkah? Oh, because this is a riot of Chizda, that since you can have a sukkah manufactured by a koi, therefore when it's manufactured by a yid, he doesn't make a bracha because it's not asher tzivanu, kishon b'tzoyz b'tzivanu, because even a goy can go and manufacture the sukkah. So that's the raya from sukkah. However, tefillin is a tiyufte, tefillin is a kasha on this premise, on this thesis of Rav Chizda, that Rav Chizda said that if a goy can do it, you don't make a bracha. If a goy cannot do it, then you do make a bracha. Well, what's the raya? What's the kash of a tefillin? Very tefillin, the psulos by the kachavim. If a goy puts together the tefillin, he writes the parashias, or he makes the klaf for the batim, etc. All possible by a goy. The Tani Rav Chinna Berei de Rava, like Rav Chinna Berei de Rava said, back on the Amud Beis, mi Pashrunya, he came from Pashrunya, Sefer Torah, tefillin, umezuzay shekosvan tzedoiki, kusi, Eved, Isha, Vekotin, or a Mummer, any one of these people that wrote Tvillin or Mizuzois, including an Oivik Echovim, Psulin, Shenemr, it says in the Pasik, Ukshartim, Ukshavtim, Koshi Yeshna, Bikshira, Yeshna, Biksiva, whoever has the mitzvah of Kshira, meaning putting on Tvillin, Ukshartim, Oisal Yedecha, who has that mitzvah? A Jewish male, a tzedoki, a kusi, a goy, an eved, an isha, a cotton, a mummer, none of them have that mitzvah. In the case of the mummer, he has the mitzvah, but he's not being mekayim the mitzvah. Shenem b'kshar to k'savta, kosh yesh b'kshir, yesh b'ksiva, kosh ein b'kshir, ein b'ksiva, obis, period. Ah, so what do I see from this? That a goy is possible to go and to do a ksiva of tefillin. Obis, Yisrael in terech levarach. And when Yisrael writes the tefillin, he doesn't make a bracha. The shalach of chiy barei rafuna barim mishmei der biyechanan al tefillin shayad oimer. When you put on the tefillin shayad, you say baruch hashem kicham soyis tzivan al niyech tefillin al tefillin shiroish. You put it on, you make a bracha hashem kicham soyis tzivan al mitzvah tefillin ve'ilu las tefillin le'mevarech. When the yid is putting together, normally today we say the batim macher or the soifer that's writing, when he writes the tefillin or he puts together batim, you don't make a bracha. Why not? Since this is only a yid, a goy can't do it. We should make a bracha. Chegichazoyt tivano lasis tefillin. Oh, is the chakasha from tefillin on Rav Chizda's halach? So says Igmar. Therefore, I'll tell you a new rule with which you can guide yourself, which will end for alakashas. Elav haynu taima. I'll tell you what the time is. Kol mitzvah da'asiyos gimar mitzvah. Anytime when you do the mitzvah, that's done, you're finished, there's nothing more to do. Kigoy mila. It really makes no difference whether a goy can or a goy cannot. That is not the deciding factor. What the deciding factor is, am I finishing off the mitzvah? By mila, when the moil does the cutting of the arla, we're done. Nothing more to do. So Yisrael makes a bracha. However, if the asiyah, the manufacturing, is not the gemar mitzvah, such as going tefillin, a person can go and write as many tefillin as he wants to, but it's not a gemar mitzvah until you put the tefillin on. So that's why you don't make a bracha. Even though a goy is possible, that doesn't make any difference. He doesn't make a bracha of the asiyah, because although the asiyah is a nice hachana, you cannot go and wear tefillin unless somebody wrote the parashas 100%. But the writing of the parashas is at most a hachana lemitzvah, it's not the mitzvah itself. That's why you don't go make a bracha. So now let's get back to our case of the tzitzis. We had a machloikis back on the Amud Aleph between Rav Chisda, who quoted Rav, the Rav holds by tzitzis ein tzorach bracha, and then we had Rav Nachman. Sorry, it's the other way around. Rav Nachman was the one that said that ein tzorach bracha. He said the name of Rav. Well, Rav Chisda said, I don't know why. We should have to make a bracha, because since a goy is disqualified from making tzitzit, it's a Jewish halacha, you should have to make a bracha. So, l'choira, what's the machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Nachman? Says Yomar, it's very simple. The question is, when do you have a mitzvah, when do you get schar for a mitzvah of tzitzis? So it's more of tzitzis v'hakamifagi. Marasa v'choy v'stalisu. Marasa v'choy v'sgavrahu. So machloik is whether it's the chavtza or the gavra. This, of course, is kind of strange to us, because we're only familiar with the chiv of tzitzis when you put your talis on. But there's a mandiyomar. We're going to have this mandiyomar later in the Gemara as well. That's going to say, even if it's munach b'kufsa, the tzitzis are in your drawer, your mekayim mitzvah, or the other way around. If you have an arba kanfos without any tzitzis on it, you are over this mitzvah that the Torah tells you. Even if you're not wearing it, just putting it in the drawer, make sure there are tzitzis on it. So therefore, that's the machloikis. The man yomer that says tzorach levorech, he holds it just like the mitzvah of mila, that as soon as you finish putting the tzitzis on, you're mekayim the mitzvah, because the chavtza is the chiv, as soon as they put the four tzitzis on. Oh, thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. You gave me this mitzvah, I just was mekayim a mitzvah. Even before I put it on, I was already mekayim a mitzvah. The other man, the other that says, ain't tzorach levarach, he says, come on. You can go and make as many talesim as you want, especially if you're a talis manufacturer. Go and make as many talesim, put as many tzitzis on. All you've done is prepared the way for the mitzvah of tzitzis when somebody wears it. But until somebody wears it, no mitzvah. Since there's no mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. So it's a very simple explanation of the machloikis. And with this we have, for enfit, the ganze stira, Rav and Rav, that was asked by Rav Chisda initially. Omali Ramadchal Ravashi, Atun Hochi Mesninala, Anan Hochi Mesninala. The whole kasha that we had started off with, that Rav said, according to Rav Chisda, or according to Rav Nachman, that tzitzis b'ayvi gechov is psula. Right? If you go back to the Amud Aleph for a moment, that's how we got into this whole problem. That if Adar Barahava was putting on the tzitzis, Rami Chutin, he made a brocha tzitzis, and now Rav Nachman says, hey, my tzitzis shemanach, listen down, tzitzis. Omer Rav, tzitzis ain't tzricha ke brocha. You don't need a brocha on tzitzis. When you're making tzitzis, no brocha of lasis tzitzis. No such thing. Because of that, we had a ganze stira. Here it says, Ein tzricha bracha. He said, Rav Chisda, that only a yid can make it, and not a goy, so you should have to make a bracha. There's a new version. The ikka the amri is, Hochi amrav tzitzis tzricha bracha. Sure, if tzitzis tzricha bracha, we don't have a kash in the first place. Anan hochi masinala, omer, yud amrav, minan tzitzis tzricha bracha. Shekshayra, that if a goy makes tzitzis, it's kosher. Shinim adab b'nei Yisrael was lem tzitzis. Ah, so what's the raya from this? It doesn't say tasu tzitzis, v'osu lehem, have tzitzis be made for them. Yasu lehem acherim. Oh, so an oivik kekovim can go and make the tzitzis for them. Since an oivik kekovim can make the tzitzis for them, so then there's no reason to go and make a bracha. The whole kasha was, so the masa ain't zarech bracha. Taka. According to both versions, ain't zarech bracha. The only question is tzitzis mutter through a goy or not? According to the first version, a goy cannot make tzitzis for you, because you got to make the tzitzis, not a goy. So then the question is, why taka don't you make a bracha? Because only a yid has mitzivana. According to this version, no, even a goy can make tzitzis. No, if a goy can make tzitzis, then of course you don't make a bracha. Because any time a goy can perform the mitzvah, then you don't make a bracha. Yes, somebody had a question. Shelly wanted to make a witty comment. Oh, froze, better. Okay, but we're now in defreeze mode. Good? Good. Fine. So with this, according to the second version, what we've just been learning now for the last 15 minutes is really not negeh al halacha. In other words, we didn't need to come on to this whole business of bringing rayas from sukkah and akasha from tefillin and mila. It's all very, very simple. Rav Chisda was absolutely right. Lichatchila, no stira whatsoever. What was the stira? That we said in the Yomid Aleph, said Rav Nachman, don't make a bracha. That's what Rav said, don't make a bracha. Why not? Tzitzis can only be made by a Jew, not by a Gentile. So of course you should be able to go and make a bracha, because it's a Jewish mitzvah. It's Kshar B'tzoyis Mitzivana. Gemara says, according to the second version, no, Rav Taki held that tzitzis through a goy is kusha. If it's kusha, then of course you don't make a bracha, because that's what Rav Chisda said. Anything that can be done by a goy, you can't make a bracha, but Tzivana, lastly, tzitzis. So the two Ravs are consistent and everything is great. Yeah. You don't hear it. One second, I have to put on the sound here. Phone speaker. Okay. Your question is, why don't you make a bracha when uksavtem, when you do the ksiva?
Right.
So what our Gemara is telling us is, uksavtem is telling us that it has to be written. It can only be written by a Jew, but it itself is not the mitzvah. This is a chana the mitzvah. But don't give this a chana the mitzvah to be done by a girl, by a goy, by a cotton, by a kusi, by a tzedoki, they're all disqualified. But they're disqualified in making the preparations for the mitzvah. But the actual ksiva of the mezuzah, you're not mekayim a mitzvah. Or the ksiva of tefillin, or the ksiva sefer Torah, it's a very worthwhile thing, and especially if he does a great job, we might even give him an award at the next dinner. But lamaisa, it's not a mitzvah, it's only hachana la mitzvah. Okay? Continuing the Gemara, it's weiter. Zokti Gemara, Om Rav Yudah Marav. Now we're going to talk a little bit about locha of lishma. And Rav Yudah Marav says, Ason min ha-koitzim, min ha-niminu, min ha-garden, psula, min ha-sisin, ksheira. Now what means koitzim? Koitzim, of course, normally means thorns. But here it doesn't really mean thorns. What it means is loose threads which are sticking out, which are hanging out from the original talis garden. In other words, just like any time you give a beged for sewing or for weaving, you typically have loose strings at the very end, and the weaver or the sewer is going to go and cut them, so otherwise it looks very unseemly that they're sticking out. So koitzim and nimen and gardim are all more or less the same. There's a bit of an overlap. The reason why the first is called koitzim, says Rashi, because they're niktzotzim. You cut them off. any chut, any type of, you know, string which is left hanging on the beged, you just cut them off. That's Rashi's first shot. Then that's on the koitzim. The neiman says Rashi, "Hainu oisin shioitzim in a beged betfira." In other words, the previous one apparently was a question of in the weaving process. Here the neiman is talking about you're sewing it. So someone who was sewing the hem on it, for instance, or sewing the beged together, the sewer, he also has loose strings. Garden, and you see his fringes, or seems to be like the English word fringes. There, fringes means the art scroll says, we're talking about that on the weaving loom, you have the chassis, the erev, the warp and the woof. So you had the warp strings, those are the vertical strings hanging down, and you put the horizontal strings through, the threads through and through, and at the end you already had your shear of the beged, and then they took it off the weaving loom, and you still had these warp threads hanging down from the edge. All of these, were you to go and use them and say, you know what, let's call these the tzitzis. So instead of having to make a hole and then going and inserting the strings through the hole, let's use these the way they are. Says the Gemara, no, this is all possible. The reason why it's possible is for one of two reasons. Some say the reason is because it wasn't done in the Shema. When this was originally woven or sewn, it was for the purpose of making a beged, not for the purpose of making tzitzis. So therefore, I'm sorry? Or the second reason, Cheskian says, Barry, like what we said before, Tasev Aleimena Osri, because since when it was put on, it was not done, the Shein Mitzvah Tzitzis, and now the beged is complete, if I'm going to have in mind now, oh, I have fed to get tzitzis, no good, because it was put on when the beged wasn't even a beged yet, and therefore it's Tasev Aleimena Osri. So there are a couple of reasons given in the Mefarshim. However, when you talk about Minasisim means that if you took the strands of tzitzis and you took it off a spool of thread, in other words, I'm sure you each have in your homes spools of thread which you or your wife or someone else uses to go and fix a button or to go and fix a tear in a garment. So you take thread. That thread, ordinary thread, you can go and use for purpose of the tzitzis. Meaning that you do not need tevoya lishma. The insertion of the tzitzis into the hole, that has to be done lishma. However, the manufacture of the threads itself does not have to be lishma, according to Mevino Merav. However, Kembrita Kamer Shmuel, when this was repeated from Tishmuel, Omar Af Minas Isim Sur, Be'inin Tevoya Lishma. Tevoya means the spinning of the thread. You take the wool and you cut it from the back of the animal, and then you clean it out, and now you take the wool and you spin it into thread. That too has to be done lishma. So you can't just buy any season. It's got to be something that was done totally lishma. Says one of the same machlokes we have by tzitzit, we have also by tefillin, kitanoi. What happens if you take your tefillin and you tzipan zohav, instead of making a black, beautiful pair of tefillin, you make it covered with gold at the top. We have a loch l'moshe m'Sinai, that it's got to be that the bottom have to be black and not gold. Or you should tell alein or behemoth tmei, instead of going and making the bottom out of kosher hide, meaning kosher hide from a kosher animal, you took the hide of a horse or a donkey or something like that, a behemoth tmei, that's possible. Or a behemoth tahir, as long as you took the hide from a kosher animal, a sheep, goat, a calf, cow, that's kosher, that's really kosher. There's no din that the person that makes the batim has to be ma'abed lishman. Therefore, even a goy could do it theoretically. However, Shem Gamliel, even though no afbar behemoth tahir, all tzibsulachi of don lishman. Oh, so the same thing, just like by tzitzis, we have a machloikis, whether the strings have to be manufactured lishma. Initially, when you are spinning the thread, does it have to be lishma? Now, here too, does the oir of the behemoth tahira, does that have to be an ibad lishma duchayid that goes and forms it and puts it on a mold, etc., to make batim out of it? Machloikis. Nu shtikl, omli abayla rav shmuel barav yehuda, hot chelta. We keep on talking about tcheles. How do you go and take regular woolen strings and make it into tcheles strings? Hechitz visula. I'm laying my sin in dam chalos, and you go and take the blood of chalos. And although it says we hear the dam, and Mefarshim say the Gemara is lav dafka. What it really means is the blood, not the blood, the body juices, secretions, body juices, whatever, of the chalazin. Chalazin that in itself is a machlokes, whether it's a fish or a reptile, whatever it is, you have to take
what's
from it. I'm sorry?
What's a reptile?
Reptile means like a lizard. You see a lizard, so this is a reptile. So you can have chalazin also as feast and as a guide, lav dafka, that it swims. Anyway, sedam chalazin, the samamonim, and there are certain particular dyes that you also put in. In other words, it's not pure chalazin, also samamonim, I guess, to reinforce it and to make it come out pretty. Verminim lubi yoyre, and you go and cook it together in a yoyre, in a large pot. Marsichale, you make rsicha, means that you heat it up. Vishakilna, vishaklina, partib beyasa, and then after that, you do your test. You take, let's say, a spoonful, and you put it into the shell of an eggshell. The taminan lahu ba'udra, the word taminan over here doesn't mean to taste. It means that you inspect it. You inspect whether this chalazoin dye is really going to hold. So what do? You inspect it, or you test it. Ba'udra. Udra means a small little wad of wool. Think
swatch.
Swatch, those on a swatch, but not a swatch, a watch that you tell time. But a swatch to go into
a piece of gauze.
Okay. Think of maybe like a Q-tip that has a little piece of gauze at the end. You put it in. Bishudinan le lahu beyasa. When you finish with your test, go and throw out the beyasa with whatever chalazin dye is in the beya. Throw that out. The kalinan le the udra. And you also burn the udra, that is the swatch that you just dyed. And if you see that the dye held like good chalazin dye, then it's kusha v'yusha. But the bottom line is, says Yimara, but throw out the test dye as well as the test udra. Shema mina klas, I learned from this three halach. Shema mina te'ima psula. Te'ima psula means that swatch is posul, and that's why you have to throw it out. And the reason why you cannot use this team, why can't you take the swatch and make, because it's shalai lishma, because you tested it as a test. You didn't do it for purposes of putting actually on a beggar. Ushma mina to be in a tzviya lishma. And you see from this that tzviya has to be lishma. The Gemara is going to ask momentarily, aren't these two the same? That the reason why the te'ima is possible, because it wasn't done lishma. So you see, you have to do lishma. So it's really not two separate shmaminas. Shmamina te'ima pasla. Te'ima pasla, this te'ima is not referring to the swatch, it's referring to the dye that was used already once to dye the udra. Do not put that back into the yora and use it again, but pour it out, throw it out. Zoktimara, hainu te'ima psula, hainu tzviya lishma. The first two, l'chayra, are the same. Since the swatch is possible, the reason why it's possible is so you weren't tzviya lishma. So aren't you repeating yourself? Amravashi, you're right. Ma'atam ka'amar. Ma'atam te'ina psula. B'shem te'ina tzviya lishma. So Bemis and the Taka only learn two halachas. Halacha number one is that the udra, that was the test material, the swatch, throw that out, you cannot use it for your tzitzis. As well as the dye that was used to dye this udra, once you used it once, you pour it out, you don't use it a second time. But we'll see in a moment that this in fact is a machlokes. What's a machlokes? Te'ima psula mishum shenema kalil techeiles. Divrei Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. Reb Yechman Davoy oimer afilu marisheni shebach kosher mishum shenema ushni terlas. This te'ima that we're talking about over here is not talking about the udra, the swatch. This is talking about the dye. And what it's telling us is te'ima, once the dye has been used for the test, you can no longer use this dye to go and dye other tzitzis. Yes. Meaning, you can only use the dye once and not use it a second time. So you have the dye that was in the eggshell. I put the udra in. I did the test and I saw, yeah, this is great chalazin dye. There's still some left inside the eggshell. This is possible. Why? Mishum shenema kalil techeiles. Kalil techeiles means it has to be at the height of perfection of techeiles. Once you've used it already, once, whatever you're going to dye now, by definition, is going to be somewhat inferior because it's a secondary dyeing with the same dye. So you can only use it once. Rabbi Yechon Devoy said, no, I feel a marishen yishibah kosher. Even if you're using a second, in other words, the second time around with the same dye, now you're doing it lishma. That's also kosher. Why? Mishab shenem ushni telas, and there's a little bit of a play on words. Shni is like the word sheni, like the second time you're using the same tcheles to make shni telas. That's also good. Okay. Tanaban. Tcheles ein labdika v'ein nichas ela min amumcha. Tcheles, you cannot be boidik if this is real tcheles or not. And therefore, you have to take it from a mumcha, someone that you can rely on, that this is bona fide tcheles, and not what the Gemara calls kola ila, which is a dye that looks like tcheles, like from a chalazim, but really is not. Tfilin yesh labdika. Tfilin, you can be boidik. What can you be boidik about them? Says Rashi, you can be boidik the parashiyos to see if they're chaseiros the yaseiros. They nichan elman a mumcha, and you can only take it from a mumcha. Why can you only take it from a mumcha? Since you can be boidik to see whether or not the ksav is kosher, and he didn't have a chaser or yeser, so buy it from anybody. Says Rashi, the reason is because it goes like the mandiyama that said before, you have to have ibud lishma on the bottom. So even though you can open up, you can buy a pair of tefillin, open the bottom, and you see the parashi is out, perfect. But you don't know that the bottom were made correctly lishma, so you can only buy them in a mumcha. Svar mamzuzas yesh lehem bedika. Again, you can check out chaseiros v'yaseiros to make sure that the sefer Torah and the mezuzah is kusha v'yusha. V'nikha mikol adam. And you can buy it from anyone, says Rashi, because by a sefer Torah and mezuzah, there is no din of ibud lishma. In other words, you can go and buy parchment from a goy and use that parchment for writing a sefer Torah or a mezuzah. That's the end of this brisa. Frank Dimar, you said tcheles ein lo bedika, meaning you cannot check whether something is bona fide tcheles or not. You have two ways of testing tzitzis to see whether it's chalozoin tcheles or whether it's kala'ilan. What are the two tests? For Yitzchak Breda Yehuda Bodiklei, you know how he was boidik. Maisi, you'll notice in the parentheses we have in the mnemonic, Bigeshem, that means be with Geshem, Gimel Shin Mem, what are the Gimel Shin Mem? Gimel is Megavya Gila. What's Megavya Gila? Rashi says that alum, which I believe is from which they manufacture aluminum. And you take Umaya de Shavlisa, that's the Gimel was the Megavya. The Shin is now Shavlisa. Shavlisa, says Rashi, is what we call in English fenugreek, water of the fenugreek. Umei Raglayim, that's the Mem of Geshem. That's, of course, is urine, but not anybody's urine. It's got to be Ben Arboim Yoim, 40 days old. Rashi has two definitions of 40 days old. Rashi says either from a tinnik who's 40 days old, or urine from anybody that was left in a container for 40 days, because after 40 days, it gets or loses its acid, whatever effect the urine has after 40 days. Okay, anyway, you mix these three ingredients together, the alum together with the fenugreek juice, together with the urine, the torah begavayu, and now put the tzitzis that has on it the tcheles dye, let it soak in it, from night until the next morning. Now take a look. If you see that some of the dye begins to fade, begins to remove itself, it withdraws from the begin, then it's psula. Then you see that this is counterfeit, this is phony. But if the dye remained in place, stark, it didn't fade at all, it didn't come off, then you know that it's kosher. So this is one test. Then there's another test. Rav Ada Kami, the Rav Mishmei, the Rabira, Omar Maisi, Chamira Arkisa. This Chamira is a word that we're going to be reciting in about a week from now, when we say Kol Chamira V'Chamia. What means Chamira, says Rashi? Seor kosher. That's talking about what is popularly today called the sourdough, right? You have the sourdough breads and challah. Until about a year ago, 2 years ago, I never heard of something like that, getting challah sourdough. Now it's the most popular thing known to mankind. It's even more popular, I think, than sushi and pizza. Can you imagine? Okay, anyway. So you might say chamira erka. So you go and bring hard sourdough, desari from barley, the afila begave, and you bake this tzitzis in it. And then after you finish with this process, ishtanoy lamal yusa, if you see that there's a shinu l'toyba, in other words, the perhaps even the color has gotten even stronger, then it's kosher. The grayisa, if you see, however, it's fading, it's wearing off, then it's psul, it's basal. For you to remember, the simanach shinoi sheker, shinoi emes. It really depends on the shinoi. If the shinoi is unfortunately downhill, and it now is faded, then the sheker. You see that it's counterfeit. If you see that it's getting strong and it remains strong and stable, then its emes is good. So didn't you say a moment ago that when it comes to tcheles in lebedika, I have two proven tests that work? So what is ein lebedika? Everything why ein lebedika nami tik omar atima, like we had earlier in the daf. What means teima? That if you had a string and you took it from that swatch which you used as the testing swatch to see whether this is good dye or not, good tcheles dye. So we said already that you have to throw out, because when you dyed it, you didn't do l'shem mitzvah, you did it l'shem teima, l'shem an inspection. Oh, so you can't use that. What happens if some wise guy went to the garbage, took out that swatch of nice, beautiful tcheles dyed swatch, and now he cut it into pieces and he made out of it tzitzis? Neither you nor I would know the difference, because here it's not a question of inspecting to see if this is bona fide tcheles. No question, it's tcheles. But it's disqualified because it wasn't dyed l'shema. It was only dyed l'shem a test. That's why ein lo bedika, that you cannot test to see whether this was a testing material or was this the bona fide tzitzis. And therefore, you can only buy it from a mumche. We'll stop over here, Rabbi. Let him continue tomorrow. Daf Mem Gimel. Yes.
One question. Chalul tcheles is it has to be tcheles. But this pasuk is written by the ephod. Now we know by Shem and Zayas there were different levels of quality depending upon sort of the menorah, Shem and Zayas tzak, when the second pressing was used for the menachos, and then the third pressing or after was used for other uses.
Mm-hmm.
The Chalul tcheles here is by the apo, it's not by tzitzis.
Mm-hmm.
How do you use that same madrega of tahara for the tcheles from the apo now being applied to tzitzis, which is a regular garment, in the same way that Shemen Zayitzah is not imposed on, let's say, the shemen you need for menachos?
I mean, you're asking a good question. I have to assume that, like all drushes of Chazal, that this was, you know, their Kabbalah, Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that this is the way to understand the word Klil Tcheles, that this is a Binyan Av, that whenever you talk about Tcheles, B'kol HaTorah Kula, it's got to be Klil. Klil meaning that to be the first dying and not a second dying. Even though that's some of the Eifoy, and this is talking about Tzitzis, but nevertheless, you learn one from the other, that the same halacha applies.
You see my parallel?
I see it 100%. 1,000%. Good gefrekt. But apparently that's how the Gemara learns, that the Chalil Tcheles tell us that every time, whenever you're talking about Tcheles, it's always got to be Chalil, no matter where. Oh, here in the art scroll, I see that he has a footnote, and he says, from this braisa, we see that the din tcheles of tzitzis, we're learning tcheles a big de kahuna, and therefore it appears that their din is exactly the same. However, the Rambam writes that there is a difference. By tzitzis tzorach davka dam chalozayn, she'atzviya boi oimedes biyofya ve'ena mishtanis. It remains stable and the same color forever, and it doesn't change. A big de kahuna ain't zerch dafke dam chalozin, l'rak sheheit seva b'chol hadoy melarikia. It doesn't even have to be the chalozin itself. It could even be another seva, which is also a bluish aquamarine type of seva, similar to the sky. If you want to have.
You can use Kala Ilan.
It would so appear. I'm looking at, this is in the Hebrew edition, I don't know what they have in the English edition, but it's
so.
Footnote 33 here on Daf Mem Beis. He discusses the Rambam, and he says, if you want more information, look at the Hakdama of the Tiferes Yisrael, the Seder Moed, look at the Avnei Nezer and Orachayim, etc. He has a number of different sources it discusses. Anyway, in the meantime, have a wonderful evening.